guys, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. I am sitting here with a colleague, a friend, and her name is Jalan Agnew, and she is an LCSW. And when I was thinking about this podcast, I knew I wanted to emphasize wellness. And I knew I wanted to emphasize people of color, which I've mentioned on every episode so far. But I knew that this podcast is going to release at some point around the holidays. So when I sat down, I figured out that I wanted to make sure that since I'm also an LCSW, that I wanted to sit down with another woman of color, especially about how people of color, we neglect our mental health so much. And I think Jalan is the perfect person. Funny thing is Jalan, her and I ended up, I kind of like followed her path a little bit. So she was a therapist. She ended up being a therapist at an agency where I picked up her clients. So I like knew her work before I knew her. So I knew she was good before I even met her. And then we've just been kind of crossing paths since then. But excitingly, Jalan, less than a couple of months ago, she has opened her own practice, and it's called Knowledge of Self. And knowledge is spelled like her name backwards, which I think is so creative. And I'm in her beautiful office, and I'm so excited to sit down with Jalan. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And she is squeezing us in between self-care and long days of work. And right before we started recording, she talked about how she is taking care of her body and listening to her body, which I love.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, Jalan, is there anything you would like to tell the listeners before we get started?
Hello, all. I am Jalan Agnew. Owner of Knowledge of Self LLC, opened up in September, looking really to work in our community of color. A lot of us do not seek treatment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us get referred to treatment and don't follow up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us think that our problems can be solved through other means, some of them okay and some of them not so okay. And I think that there's this fear or stigma about mental health. And a lot of people, when they come in and they see me, they're A, surprised that I'm of color, mm-hmm. and B, surprised that I'm kind of down to earth. So I think if people can just get in the door, that'd be a good first step for a lot of folks. So I'm really excited to be here to be working with people.
That's amazing. But Jalan, what made you want to, you know, open your own practice? Because currently you're a clinician full time at a DBT clinic. So mm-hmm. did you open your practice knowing that you wanted to target people of color?
I did. I wanted to. I've had several jobs at different agencies, and each mm-hmm. agency and each program has different things they want you to do and different ways they want you to do it. But I don't follow rules too well. So the reason why I opened my own practice was because I wanted to do therapy my own way.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people ask me what modules are you using? What theories are you using? What are you using? And I say, I'm doing Jalan therapy. I'm doing whatever I want to do. And that's something that's so important to me, because a lot of people think if you read a book, you will reach a client. And that's not true, especially people of color. You have to come down to that level. You have to be one-on-one with them. And I'm so much about bringing myself into the work that I think that's so important. So I wanted to do what the hell I wanted to do. And here we are sitting in my office and I do what I want to do.
Yes. And her office is so cute. It's so like classy and simple. And I think those are two words that probably describe you well.
I don't know about classy.
I'll get it. Your style.
Thank you.
No, but that's amazing. Because I know that you're on Psychology Today, mm-hmm. right? And I only know this because when I look for my therapist, I specifically look for a woman of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised that she didn't have a long wait list. Because I always mm-hmm. feel like, you know, same thing for me, right? So I'm a bilingual clinician in my past life. I would always have the most clients because I spoke Spanish.
Right.
So I feel like that's the same case for Black and brown women, right? Mm-hmm. We can't find a therapist that's a color because they're booked out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that a lot of women were reaching out to you that were of color, knowing that they could see your picture and that you were a person of color?
Yes, I had a lot of women reach out to me and say I was looking for a therapist of color. A lot of families, a lot of moms reaching out to me and
saying, wow.
My child needs a therapist of color.
Oh, wow.
Because of my connection to the hospital, a lot of inpatient therapists will say this child needs somebody of color, so I'm sending them to you. So mm-hmm. I definitely see that being something truly important. I will say a barrier though is the follow-up. Not getting a lot of follow-up from my people of color. Come on, y'all. We got to do better. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one who was referred by inpatient. Didn't really feel like she needed mental health treatment. Felt like she was okay after one session, you know. And then another one, I had a barrier for insurance. The insurance wasn't working out. So we have a lot of unique barriers in our community that don't get us coming to treatment. And the follow-up hasn't been there. And that's what I'm hoping that I can get some folks that continue to come in so we can continue treatment.
Do you think the issue with us not coming, not following up with our therapist is, you know, is it fear-based? Is it, you know, is it the cost, insurance? What do you think the reasons are?
I think it could be cost. I had one who didn't have insurance and out of pocket.
It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's...
Do you take Husky?
I do take Husky.
Okay.
I do take Husky. I think it's value.
Yeah.
I think it's value.
Okay.
You know, where we place our value. A lot of people have grown up with families who don't value mental health or believe it's real. So if you're doing something and you tell people, yeah, I went to my therapist, and they're giving you side eyes and looks like, why you go to therapy? Then your value system might place therapy in a place where I don't know if I want to follow up. If your value is to get up and go to church every Sunday, then you're going to get up and go to church every Sunday. But if your value is not to get up and go to therapy every Tuesday, then you're not going to make it. And that's definitely a barrier that I see is value.
And I love that you mentioned that because, you know, two things happen with value, right? So one thing is that we're not valuing our mental health, but then at the same in real life, but then on the TV and stuff like that, I think that they're trying to do a better job of showing that we're going to therapy. So, like, on She's Gotta Have It, she's a therapist. Mm-hmm. I think on Insecure, like, they try to see therapists and stuff like that. Even though everybody on that show should have to see a therapist.
Right.
Only Molly goes, you know? So, it is a values thing. What are some of the things that... What are some of the benefits for therapy for people of color? Like, how is it that... How do you kind of sell it to someone who may be reluctant to go into therapy?
Let me just point one more thing out. Question. Whenever people on TV go to therapy, it's when some real bad stuff happened to them.
Yes,
it's never as a piece of wellness. And I know, you know, we're talking about wellness today. And that's another reason why I think is, you know, people of color, we're not getting the treatment. You don't come to treatment when something really bad happens to you. You come to treatment as a part of... as a growth opportunity. So to get into the next question, kind of a growth opportunity. Where could I grow? How could I manage a little bit better? How am I handling my stress? What am I doing with all of those things that might have happened to me that I don't quite know how to unpack? How can I unpack that with somebody in a meaningful way? Those are the things that you might do in therapy. How can I learn some skills to help manage a little bit better? That's what I would say to people coming to therapy. Not because something big happened to you when you were 5 years old.
Right.
Yes, we're here for that. But we're also here for when I was 11.
Like regular maintenance?
Yeah, like when I was 11 years old, I moved and I felt kind of weird ever since. I felt kind of out of place. How do I unpack that? So we're here for the big stuff, but we're also here for the little stuff. I just had a breakup. How do I manage through that? That's also some things we can work through. So it's just kind of a maintenance thing, like you were saying.
Yeah, when you said that, it made me think of the word maintenance because there's a blogger that I follow, not a blogger, she's a businesswoman, her name is Miley Teal, and she talks about how she's been going to psychotherapy for like 7 years, and she was like, there's nothing going on with me right now. Like, I don't I'm not in crisis, I'm in a healthy relationship, I'm a successful woman, but she was just like, therapy helped so much when I was struggling that it would be a disadvantage, right, for me to stop. So I think a lot of people end up stopping when they're done grieving somebody that they grieved or when they're done with that breakup because they're like, oh, well, I don't need it anymore. But that's what I feel like you need it the most when you can actually apply the things that you learn when you're not in crisis.
It's similar to eating healthy or working out.
Yes.
You don't stop eating healthy when you lost the weight
because
you put the weight back on. You don't stop working out when you lost the weight. You put the weight back on. It's a maintenance thing for your health if we could think of it in that way. I think our community will be a lot more healthy because we got a lot to unpack, my people.
Yeah. The way that you guys can't see, but the way that you're talking about it, Jalan, makes me think as if, like, this has been a passion of yours for a really, really long time. So why did you decide to do therapy? Let's go back to baby Jalan.
So what happened was, my mom is a social worker, and I always said I would never be a social worker.
Wow.
I actually started off in business school in college, but when I started taking psychology classes, they started making sense to me. Mm. And my first job out of college was a social work job, and I started doing well with it. And I had a boss that pushed me to get my master's, and from there, it's just been kind of second nature to me.
Like helping people?
Helping people. I haven't applied for a job since I got my master's. I've always kind of been right place, right time for it. Mm-hmm. So it's just been, it called me, actually.
It's your calling.
And sometimes I want to be like, stop calling me. Sometimes I just want to eat some chips on the beach or something. But it continues to call me, and I continue to have a passion for it.
Now, I love that. The word calling is something that I think a lot of people, you know, because you mentioned a thing about going to church, right? Mm. So I've read a lot of stuff from people saying like, well, I don't need a therapist because I go to church and I rely on my pastor. But it's kind of like, you know, if you have a calling for something like you did with therapy, you have to kind of listen to it, right? And just like you might get support from your, you know, pastor or preacher, whoever it is, any kind of spiritual, you have to kind of still fill up your cup and figure out what are other needs that you may have. Mm-hmm. Talking to a therapist does help a lot, and especially during this time. And I definitely want us to address seasonal depression. For you, Jalan, what do you consider seasonal depression as?
I see it as both kind of with the change of, obviously, season with it getting darker earlier, but I also see it kind of as a manifestation of the holidays. I know a lot of people struggle around the holidays, and a lot of people got family stuff, and it brings up things for them. And with both of those things together, like, it's dark at 5 o'clock.
Oh my God,
that's a lot of time for it to be dark outside. And just without those resources to help manage through that, it seems like an increasingly tough time.
It's so crazy that once you take away the sunlight from people, how like, I don't know, unbalanced they feel.
Especially people whose skin is kind of
darker, right?
It's darker, and it lives off of the sun. It literally is radiated by the sun. So you put us in the dark, and it's like, well, of course we're going to feel a little bit off. Yeah, absolutely.
I heard that when I was looking for, like, vitamins for myself and stuff, they were talking about how people of color who live in the northeast, like New England, we need to take vitamin D supplements.
Vitamin D deficiencies, absolutely. Yeah,
and we don't get enough sun and stuff, and that's why there's a higher risk of depression and diabetes.
It all goes together.
That's so nuts to me. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the first time I heard about seasonal depression was in college. I just figured, I'm in college, I miss my family, I want to go home. But then when I was an adult, I'm just like, why do I still feel like crap? Mm-hmm. Between like November to like February. Mm-hmm. It never failed. It was just like my birthday's around Halloween. My birthday would be like popping. And then after that, I would feel downhill. So awful from like that to February. And I was just seeing my own therapist because I do see a therapist and I'm very candid about my social media and stuff. And I was telling her, I was like, I don't know if it's seasonal depression, but November felt like awful. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, she's like, you're not alone. I was like, I know.
I'm like a creature tonight. I like the nighttime. And I love the holidays. Like, I have my tree up
awesome.
3 weeks before Thanksgiving and everybody made fun of me. But I do see it a lot with clients. You do whatever you do, you go straight home. And then you're in the house for a long time. And then, so absolutely, I do see it a lot in kind of, you know, clients and patients that I work with.
Do you think that therapists need to see their own therapist?
Oh, can I curse on
you? Yeah, you can curse.
Hell yeah. Therapists need therapists. If a therapist don't have a therapist, there's something going on. I have a therapist, and it's a black male.
Ooh. Do you like
him? I picked him because he's a black male. I love him.
That's awesome.
And he's awesome. And I think therapists need therapists. Because absolutely. When you help people unpack all day, you had better have somebody help you unpack because you're just going to be walking around with people's stuff.
Right.
All the time.
What are some, you know, ways that people outside of therapy that they can do? What are some like coping skills or things that you think can help people manage stuff if they're like still struggling getting to therapy or they're waiting for a therapist? What can someone do in the meantime if they're struggling?
Ways of managing struggling. I'm very new to meditation and mindfulness.
Oh, I love that.
But it has really helped me in my life that never slows down to really get some grounding and slow down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Connections with like-minded people who are moving in the direction you want to move, not moving in the direction you're trying to move out of. I know this is very helpful. Yes. I talk to people all the time and say, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to do this no more. What are your friends doing? The stuff I don't want to do no more. If you want to make some moves, try out some stuff that you're looking forward to. That's always a good way to do it. And try new things. You never know what you like. And trying out something new might be helpful in getting your mind off of whatever it is.
I love that. So trying out something new. What are some of the things that you're seeing? Because you've been a clinician for years. So you've worked with adolescents and adults and kids. Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing that are affecting people of color, adults? What are some of the diagnoses?
diagnosis.
It's such a weird diagnosis, plural, that people of color particularly suffer from.
I think it's a lot of PTSD.
Okay.
And generational PTSD.
Generational PTSD? That's a thing?
Yes.
It's in the DSM?
It is a thing. It may not be in the DSM.
Oh, okay. It's a thing. Okay.
Because if mommy beat me and grandma beat mommy and great grandma beat, it's a cycle of trauma because you never learned another way how to parent. And the same way goes with substance, and the same way goes with emotion. So it's kind of this generational piece that goes wow. back, and one might say to slavery, but that, you know, that's a whole nother thing. That
girl,
that
we got that's a whole nother podcast. That's a different episode.
Yep, that's another thing. So I say PTSD, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Depression, definitely. Mm. And we use other means to manage our depression. Yes. So we're not going to therapy, but we smoke in every day. Hello. A lot of us are drinking every day. Hello.
Right.
And we're using other means of managing that depression and anxiety.
Oh,
a lot
yes,
of depression
girl.
And anxiety. And we're not being diagnosed. So it's looking like anger or lashing out. Or
aggression, yeah.
Aggression. But it's not always that. It could just be something that's undiagnosed or untreated. A lot of people think because they go to a therapist, they're going to be put on medication. That's not true. I had so many people say, I don't go to a therapist because I don't want them to put me on medication or send me to the hospital.
Are you a prescriber?
I am not a prescriber.
See?
LCSWs do not prescribe medication.
There you go.
Nobody's going to put you on medication if you are not open to being on medication.
Right. And like Jalon just said, LCSWs do not.
We cannot. Legally, mm-hmm. we cannot prescribe medication.
And that's only a psychiatrist not a psychologist.
Or APRN.
Or APRN,
right.
Yep.
So you'd have to be seeking medication. So
right.
Those are three big ones that I see in our community.
So it's PTSD, depression, and anxiety.
Anxiety.
And those, if they go untreated, right, we already know how they can manifest.
We know what they look like, absolutely.
And they look so different. Mm-hmm. And that's why for people who follow me on social media, they'll see that I post a lot about, like, my anxiety looks like this. My depression mm-hmm. looks like this.
Yep,
people are surprised, right? If you're like, for example, Jalon was like, girl, you got mad energy. Mm-hmm. And it's partly because I came from the gym and I had, like, a protein bar that has a lot of sugar in it. But, mm-hmm. I'm, like, actively, like, depressed, you know? And so people assume, right, you assume that the friend that is happy all the time or doing stuff or doing good in school or, has a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, girl, why are you depressed? You got everything going on.
Right.
And, girl, like, or, you know, if...
You never know.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have a male in your life, especially with men of color. That's a whole nother episode, too.
Oh, yeah, that's another podcast. Lord.
We talk about... I addressed this in my love episode, where we talk about how men of color aren't comfortable saying how they feel. And it's like, why are we not giving, like, black and brown men the space, right, for them to go to a therapist?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, there's already stigma for people of color. Imagine a man, right? There's already stigma for women reporting mm-hmm. that they've been abused. Mm-hmm. Imagine a man.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a culture, we just got to get better at that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One other
yeah,
piece is I know a lot of people talk about ADHD in kids.
Yes.
But trauma could look like ADHD. Because when mm-hmm. your brain is on alert all the time, it could look like you can't pay attention because you have ADHD, but it's because you've been through a trauma.
Right.
So a lot of people are getting diagnosed with ADHD, and they say the ADHD, and they put him on the medication when he was five. I hear a lot of that and a lot of resentment around that, but... It looks very different in different people. Depression in men looks like anger sometimes. And we give them... Actually, we send them to jail. We don't even treat men of color.
Yes.
So it looks like different things. And if we're not getting treated, we won't know what they are. Mm.
If you think... You know, is there any advice for our listeners if they think that someone in their life who's a male or a woman or anyone who's of color that's stubborn about mental health, how can we gently tell them to get help? Probably prepped you. Sorry.
No, that's a really good question. I would say if you have somebody trusted in your family or in the community that you know does some work in the field, I'd say talk to them. Google may not always be your best friend. So I'd say definitely talk to somebody who knows what they're doing. Because the answer you get might not always be send them to the hospital, give them medication. It might just be, why don't you come in on the couch for 30 minutes?
Right.
Why don't you get a mentor? It might look like something like that. So if you have somebody trusted, you know, talk to them or, you know, sit down and make the call with them. Maybe go in with them the first time.
I like that plan. Do therapists let you do that?
To go in with them?
Yeah.
I've had, you know, people come in with significant others or parents or whoever they felt comfortable with being in here the first time, because sometimes it is scary to be in here the first time. And people are like, I don't want to tell you all my business. I don't want to know all your business either. You came to me for help. Like, what are we talking about? It's not even about that. It's about figuring out how we can work collaboratively to kind of make things better for you.
Exactly. So, and I like that you said that, because it gently kind of telling somebody like, hey, why don't you talk to someone? Why don't you get a mentor? Mm-hmm. Or let's go take a walk, you know, and figure out what's going on with you. My supervisor referred me to do EAP. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are familiar, EAP is something that your job like offers where you get to have 3 sessions for free with a therapist. Mm-hmm. And they pre-select it, so you might not get the best experience. Mm-hmm. My experience was fine. It just wasn't a good match. And after that, you can stay with the person if you like them. Mm-hmm. So those are quick ways. And I mean, I'm going to write all these things down so you guys can look for it. And Jelan, are you taking any clients?
I'm taking referrals. I take Cigna and I take Husky.
Almost, I don't know, one friend in my life, honestly, that couldn't go see a therapist for something. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that my friends were listening. That does not mean that you're crazy, which is something that we need to stop doing. It just means
Please
that...
Please stop saying that word, y'all.
It's bad.
Please stop saying that word. And a mental health diagnosis is like a health diagnosis.
Right. Yes.
That's another thing we need to do better in our community. It's just like the doctor saying, you have this health concern, take care of the health concern. It's the same thing. Getting a diagnosis does not mean your life changes in a way that you can't manage.
Exactly. And like we said before, it's about maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. So when I say people in my life could use therapy, it's that everyone is struggling with something, right? Mm-hmm. And you need someone, you know, yes, it's fine to go to your girls and have happy hour and talk to your man and talk to your mom or talk to your dad. But you need someone who's going to be like, who's not like in the mix already and who knows all your business.
Somebody on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the only way. What about if people want to get a therapist? What is the... what's the best way? Like Psychology Today?
Psychology Today is great. Mm-hmm. There are several lead mental health agencies in the area. Mm-hmm. The Village is one. Wheeler Clinic is one. Who else is around here? And one more other way to find a therapist is ask your friends. You might be surprised who's already seeing somebody. And you didn't even know.
Exactly. I know at least 3 friends on Facebook that have been colleagues or now they're colleagues, but I didn't know them from like high school, middle school, college, and they're women of color and they open practices. And I'm like, I wouldn't go to them because those are people that I know, but I would totally refer people to them.
Absolutely.
So definitely look around. It's, they're out there. So thank you, Jelan, so much for being on the episode.
Thank you.
To kind of end, I'm going to ask you what I ask all my guests.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I call it the rapid fire round, and it's not very fast. I don't know why I call it rapid fire.
Oh, I was about to say.
I'm like, okay.
Strapping my seatbelt.
Right. What are you listening to right now?
Oh.
You didn't expect that, did you?
No, I didn't. I am not into current music. I really need to get better about this, but I'm still listening to Solange from last year.
No, that's a beautiful album.
I can't get over it.
I'm mad that I missed all of her tours, the whole tour.
Me too. I can't get over her last album, so I'm still in Solange world.
Yeah, I'm still listening to her and Childish Gambino, like his last project.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah, they came out about the same time.
I love them. Mm-hmm. Very vibey. What are you reading right now, if you're reading anything?
I am reading, actually carry it everywhere with
me. Ooh, yes, A Woman Who Carries Her Books. I love that.
Yes, I am reading Wherever You Go, There You Are by Jon Kabat-Zinn.
Ooh, I'll have to take a picture of that.
It is a book about mindfulness and meditation. And I am also reading, what is the name of the other one? The other one is by Eckhart Tolle, and it's another one about meditation and mindfulness.
So you're really trying to implement.
Which I'm super, super into. I've been doing retreats and.
I love that. Yeah, it's and I love all your posts on Facebook.
It's pretty dope.
About mental health. I love that. What is your morning routine like? Do you have one?
My morning routine, when I get up on time. Hallelujah.
Same, girl. Same.
When I get up on time, I make sure I meditate, actually. I try to meditate at least 4 or 5 times a week. I get up. I watch the same show every day. Don't laugh. It's Frasier. For some reason, Frasier gets me going. Yeah, that's all right. Frasier gets me going. I do my meditation, and then I put on my Frasier, and I get dressed. And I'm almost always running out of the house, but I get to work semi on time.
Nice.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. What's your night routine like? So you have to unpack a lot. Oh, yes. And so at the end of the day, what do you do to turn your mind off to get ready for bed?
My ready for bed routine is, hopefully, I meditate again.
Nice. How long are you meditating for these days?
Around 15 to 20 minutes.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is
a long time. I could hold it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it started out with 2 because my brain don't stop. But hopefully I'm meditating at night. Mm-hmm. I like some quiet time. I like a candle. I like time without my phone or the TV because I need time for my brain to settle. And then I try to go to bed early, like 10 o'clock. So I can actually get rest. Because if I don't get rest, then I can't.
Rest is important.
The rest of the day.
For your mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I love that. Last 2 questions. Mm-hmm. So what made you the happiest this week?
What made me the happiest this week? I went to Philly over the weekend and I saw my college friends. And it was a lot of fun.
Did you go to Temple?
I did go to Temple.
Oh, that was just a guess.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, yes. It's the best school.
Yeah. I actually went to go visit there.
Yeah.
And what do you do for self-care?
I meditate. I hang out with friends. I travel.
Yes.
And I buy things. Shoes, mostly.
I love that because she made a face. Shoes. She was like, yes.
Shoes. And I do my hair. My hair is usually different every month or two. Ooh. I like styling my hair.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Jelana. I know that this was a brief... I was late, guys. So, to my session with Jelan. So, but that's just me. I'm always rushing late. But this is also how it is when you're a therapist. You only have a little bit of time. When you have a private practice, you have to run a space. Mm-hmm. And you only have it for a certain amount of time. So, I appreciate you being here with me.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, Jelan?
I am on Psychology Today. Knowledge of Self, LLC. I am located at 836 Farmington Avenue, Suite 221B. You can find my information on Psychology Today. Give me a call. I am open Wednesdays from 4:30 to 8:30 right now. I'll be adding days as I continue to grow. And hopefully, I'll be a thing by like next year.
Oh, girl, you are a thing right now.
I'm trying to be a thing.
Okay. And I'll be putting all of Jelan's information in the show notes. I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I really, really enjoyed having Jelan on this episode, and I hope you guys did too. This conversation about mental health and mental wellness is one to continue having. As we mentioned, it's something that, especially in our communities, we need to be more accepting of people seeking help. And if you feel like you are struggling with something, please, please, please don't hesitate to reach out to anyone. There is a suicide hotline number. There is a number if you're in an abusive relationship. You can always call 211 if you don't remember any of the numbers, which I'm going to put on the show notes. You can also call 211, that's United Way, and they can connect you to you know, a clinician in the moment if you're in crisis. They can connect you to someone if you're in an abusive relationship and you want someone to talk to. They can connect you to the National Suicide Hotline. So it's really something that's important and dear, near and dear to my heart. Like I mentioned before, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and struggling with mental health and seeing other people struggle with mental health is really, really painful, especially if you feel alone. So if you have someone in your life that you think may be struggling, please be there for them and please be understanding of what they're going through. And if you might, you yourself think that you're struggling with something, there are resources available. Depending on where you live in Connecticut, the resources differ, but like I said, you can call 211. You can research a therapist on Psychology Today. You can talk to your employer about an EAP program. So those programs allow you to see a therapist 3 times. I know it's not easy talking to your employer about it, but you can always call HR. HR is really good about that. And there's also Talkspace, which is an online therapy company. So Jelan is actually listed on Psychology Today, and you could find her. Her spelling of her name is J-E-L-A-N Agnew, A-G-N-E-W. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and her practice just opened up in September, Knowledge of Self, LLC. But that does not mean that she's a new therapist. Jelan has been doing therapy for a long time. She's been a clinician for a minute. And her full-time job is at a big mental health agency, but her private practice just opened. So she's taking appointments. She's available. She wants to help people of color. So if you have any questions for her, let us know. Please write us in. Our email is basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Write us any letters of, you know, where you need advice. Give us your comments, your suggestions, your questions, and maybe we can invite Jelan back onto the show to answer them for you. You can also find us on Facebook and on Instagram, @BasicLatinaPodcast. And if you want to continue listening to this podcast because you enjoy it, which I hope that you do, you could find us on iTunes and YouTube and on SoundCloud @BasicLatinaPodcast. Make sure that if you like this episode or you think someone who might enjoy this episode, share it with a friend, share it with a coworker, review, rate, and subscribe, because the more reviews we get, the more visibility we get, and visibility is essential, especially with topics like this. I would like to thank the Pod Squad for making this episode and all the future episodes sound so good. The editorial oversight is by Gabby Barnes and the music is by Michael Cutts. I will talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.